scripture lesson for this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter, reading verses 14 to 20. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight this morning. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, good morning. I feel like we're seeing some light at the end of the tunnel now concerning the coronavirus. I'm hearing about more and more people getting vaccinated, both nationally and locally. Annette and I and my mom are going next week with a follow-up dose at the end of February. And just as an aside, if you have a chance to get the vaccine, by all means, take it. Don't turn it down because you aren't sure of its safety. I'm hearing reports of lots of appointments for vaccinations going unused because people aren't showing up. Getting vaccinated isn't going to allow the government to track your movements, and it isn't going to result in arms and hands sprouting from your head. But it is going to result in us getting our lives back. Kids going back to school and businesses reopening. So call the number and make an appointment and get the COVID-19 vaccine. It will be good for you and for the rest of us. So that was my little public service announcement for the day. But I tell you what I'm getting excited about. I'm seeing the possibility that we could all gather for worship together sometime this year. Yes, in 2021, if most of us will get the vaccine. And at our session meetings lately, I've been encouraging the elders to take that idea seriously and begin to ask God for a vision for where God wants this church to go as we begin gathering again for worship. What new thing does God want Trinity Presbyterian Church to do once we are finished with the pandemic? And I'd like to pose you that same question. What is God calling you to do now? Yes, we've all been rather homebound and unable to do much with other people in this last year, but when you're able to get out again and go where you please and mingle with folks and visit, what kind of ministry for Christ could you have? I know it's a challenge, but let's think about it. What is God calling us to now that we can see ourselves coming out of this tunnel that was the coronavirus pandemic? So hold that thought and let us look at our scripture lesson for today, because it is exactly about this topic, God's calling, how God calls, who God calls, what God calls us to. And I hope as we examine this very rich text together, we'll be better able to sense our own calling, what God may be calling you to now that the pandemic may be winding down. Okay, so now verse 16. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. So let's look at the calling of these four fishermen with an eye to what we can learn about our call from God. And I want us to notice four things about their calling, and here they are. One, let's notice what they were. Two, let's notice what they were doing. 3, let's notice how Jesus called them. And 4, let's notice what Jesus offered them. Okay, so the first one is to notice what they were. And I say what rather than who, because it's about the type of person that Jesus chose to call at the beginning. He didn't go straight for people with resources, rich or wealthy citizens, people with social status, people with political connections. Now, in my mind, I could really make a case for that. If I were going to choose 12 people and my Heavenly Father was going to let me choose any 12, I would be very tempted to stack the deck with those who could influence a slew of other people. I mean, doesn't that make sense? If you want to change the world and you only get 12 people to be on your team, I would try to get the 12 most connected, most influential people I could. Folks with several hundred followers on Twitter or Facebook, people with resources. You get one billionaire on your team and they could fund books and flyers, TV commercials. Heck, you could buy your own TV network if your disciples were rich enough. Wouldn't that make sense? Well, that's not how Jesus chose to do it, and you can't argue with the results. His choices actually worked out, didn't they? Jesus did change the world with his 12 disciples. So, what exactly were they? It's really interesting to me that the very first four choices Jesus made about his inner circle, his team, were these four fishermen, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. They were simple folk, uneducated, ordinary people. It was as if Jesus said, give me 12 ordinary men, and with them, if they will give themselves to me, I will change the world. It was like he was going after a person that could be molded into whatever shape Jesus wanted him to be. A rich person or a powerful person may have had too much pride or ego to allow that. These four fishermen could become anything. And that's a lesson for us. We should never think so much of what we are. We need to think of is what Jesus can make us into. How following Christ will change us into a new creation. As we seek to hear God's call to us today, let our prayer be just that. God, you are the potter and I am the clay. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me. Fill me, use me. That is what our prayer needs to be. Okay, the first thing we notice about these four disciples Jesus called is what they were. Simple folks who were willing to be molded by the Master's hand. The second thing we need to notice is what they were doing when Jesus called them. When Jesus called Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they were doing their normal day's work, catching fish and mending nets. Just faithfully working a job that they had probably done since childhood. This was not a holy day. This was routine. This was normalcy. And right in the middle of that normalcy, Jesus came calling. I'm guessing many times we need to go to a specifically, like a religious service in order to hear God speak, like a big evangelistic crusade or a huge worship service for God to call us. But those have been few and far between during COVID, haven't they? We don't go to those huge things anymore for fear of the virus. We don't want a great concert to turn into a super spreader event, so they don't have them and we don't go. We stay home from church on Sundays and listen to the service on the radio. It's not an ideal situation to hear God's call, we think. Here we are at worship in our living room, in our pajamas still. We're in our car driving somewhere or out on our morning walk. And friends, the good news of this passage is that God can come to you wherever you are, walking, driving, or in your pajamas. Yes, in the big evangelistic crusade, the awesome Christian concert, but equally in normal life, your regular routine, mending your nets, cleaning your fish. God can come to us not just in church, but in the middle of a day's work. So we've noticed what the first disciples were, simple folks who were willing to be molded by the master's hand. And we've noticed what they were doing when Jesus called them. They weren't in a church service, but they were going about their routine, daily, normal lives. Now, third, we want to notice how Jesus called them. William Barclay, the wonderful Scottish Bible teacher, has a great observation in this regard. He says, Jesus' summons was, follow me. It's not to be thought that on this day Jesus stood before them for the first time. No doubt they had stood in the crowd and listened. No doubt they had stayed to talk long after the rest of the crowd had drifted away. No doubt they already had felt the magic of his presence and the magnetism of his eyes. Jesus didn't say to them, I have a theological system I'd like you to investigate. I have certain theories I would like you to think over. I have an ethical system I would like to discuss with you. He said, follow me. It all began with a personal reaction to himself. It all began with that tug on the heart, which begets the unshakable loyalty. This is not to say there are none who think themselves into Christianity, but for most of us, following Christ is like falling in love. It has been said that we admire people for reasons. We love them without reasons. The thing happens just because they are they and we are we, unquote. It's incredibly important that we see that when Jesus calls us, he calls us into a relationship with him. Christianity isn't primarily a religion, it's a relationship with Jesus. For all the doctrines the church has created in the last 2,000 years, for all the creeds and confessions and systematic theologies that have been written about Jesus, it is still the simplest concept in the world. When Jesus calls you, he's asking to be your friend and your teacher. He's asking you to listen to him and also to talk to him, to live your life by breathing in and breathing out that conversation with him. Hear what he says and tell him what you think, casting all your cares on him because he cares for you. So we've noticed what these first disciples were, simple folks who were willing to be molded by the master's hand. And we've noticed what they were doing when Jesus called them. They weren't in a church service, but were going about their routine, daily, normal lives. And we've noticed how Jesus calls them, not to a theological system or complex religion, but into a relationship with himself. Follow me, he says. Now fourth, let's notice what Jesus offered the four fishermen when he called them. He offered them a task. He offered them to not a life of ease, but a life of service. He called them to a task in which they could win something for themselves only by giving their all to him and to others. Jesus' call to ministry is unconditional. Look at it. Do you see any guarantees that Jesus gives to these guys as he calls them? Any assurances? Follow me and I'll make sure your life is safe. Follow me and you will always be happy. Follow me and people will like you. No, there are no conditions or guarantees. There'll be a ton of things that will happen that we cannot anticipate. When Jesus calls us, there will be a lot we don't know, but we know him. And that is our assurance. That is our guarantee. I think many times when God calls us, we want the spiritual equivalent of a prenup. You remember those? Prenuptial agreements? It's what very wealthy people get their fiancés to sign to reduce their risk. It spells out what happens if the marriage doesn't work out, that in case it ends badly, the wealthy one gets to keep all their wealth. I think a lot of times when God calls us, we want something like that. We want God to say, okay, if this doesn't work out, you get to keep what you have. Resume your old life as you are now, no problem. But God's call doesn't work that way because as you walk with Jesus, you yourself change into someone else. The experience of following Christ makes you into a new person. And you can't go back to your old life because you aren't that person anymore. Anyone who's in Christ, they're a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. So you see, this call to follow Jesus is risky. There are no conditions you can give him. I'll follow you if this, I'll follow you if that. I'll follow you if you'll let me keep all my money. I'll follow you if you'll let me keep blowing up and angry at people. I'll follow you if you let me keep all my prejudices. The truth is, if we follow Jesus, we will change. We aren't called to be ourselves. We are called to be conformed to the image of Christ. But notice that even though following Jesus does change us, even so, Jesus actually wants to use our history, our past experiences, our deeds, and our misdeeds. They're valuable to him. He wants to adopt our past, not throw it away. He understands what we've been through and realizes that it's a resource. Instead of forgetting our past, Jesus wants to utilize our past and our experiences in ministry. Verse 17, Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." In other words, he's saying, look, I know your history doing this. I know what patience it requires to go out every day looking for fish. I know how hard it is when you do everything right and you still don't have success. And that is exactly the kind of person I need following me. I need someone that has your combination of gifts and experiences to do something new now. He's not going to abandon your experiences. He's going to use them. He needs your gifts. He needs your decision making. He needs your insights that this lifetime of experiences have given you. And not only does it work for Jesus using your previous experiences, it works for you. He knows what you love. He knows what gives you fulfillment. He knows what gives you joy. And he wants you to keep doing that. But now do it for his kingdom. Instead of fishing for fish, now you'll be fishing for people. And I think that is key for us as we seek to hear God's call. God doesn't call you to something that you hate to do, or something that depresses you, or something that is total drudgery. God's call will be to something you're already good at, something you really love doing. Only now, Jesus will take it to a whole new level. If you used to fish for fish, Jesus will take that same love, that same skill set, that same perseverance, and use it to fish for people. You'll still be fishing, but your quarry will be different. What you catch will change, not the joy of catching it. In this regard, I want to share with you what I'm praying over personally right now with my calling once the pandemic is over. As I say frequently, I'm only really gifted at two things: communicating with people by speaking or writing, and music. And I'm sensing God's call to do more of that here at Trinity. All I'm doing right now is preaching, which I love, but I'm praying about what I can do beyond that as a tithe of my life. Like maybe offering a Bible study too that could be on Zoom or WebEx so our friends listening in from other places could participate. And then there's this tug in my heart to do something with music, start a choir, or maybe do handbells. Use that gift in some way here. It's not clear yet. I'm still praying about it. But I wanted you guys to understand that we're all called, all of us, not just y'all. I'm struggling with it, just like you are. And we need to pray to hear what God wants us to do. Finally, remember that God is not calling you to do everything alone, by yourself. Actually, this is a fifth thing. Terrible sermon outline, I know. You're supposed to have 3 points in a poem. I have 5 things today. Wow. But whatever, here goes. When Jesus called the 4 fishermen, he called them not to work solo, but to be lone agents. Not to work, be the lone agents, but to work together. Jesus called his 12 disciples to be part of a team. And today, he's calling us to that also. Jesus wants us to serve together, work together. When one of us falls, the others pick them up. When one of us gets discouraged, the other one keeps us going. Your call is personal, specific, and individual, yes. It has everything to do with your history, your gifts, and your experience. But you're called into ministry with others, brothers and sisters. You're called by Jesus to serve in the body of Christ, to be a hand or a foot or an eye or an ear along with other body parts. And nobody can do what you can do. The church needs you, and you need the church. Jessica Tidwell Weisner tells a story about her call to ministry. She says, quote, "About 5 years into youth pastoring, I came down with the flu 2 weeks before Youth Sunday. In those weeks, we had 3 rehearsals scheduled with 5 adult leaders, preparing about 60 youth for 3 different services, and I was directing all of these groups. Honestly, I panicked a little, and I began frantically trying to figure out where I could buy a hazmat suit so I could still go to rehearsals, until my youth committee chair said, 'Jessica, this is why we have a team. Assign us tasks, trust that we will make it happen.' And spoiler alert, they absolutely did. I know we've groaned when a teacher announced a group project, but I think Jesus knew the deep value of a team. Jesus chose to recruit 12 disciples to share in his work of ministry together, because this is not solitary work. Even now, God's call on my life is interwoven with God's call on yours, so that we support each other as we practice sharing God's love with all people." Unquote. What are you being called to today? To what work? Or what team? Or what ministry do you feel like Jesus is calling you? Does anything come to mind? I want to close with this poem that Jessica also wrote. "Stop. Listen. Can you hear it? God is calling you. Probably not by words in your ear or by writing in a letter or by signs seen by your eyes. Instead, God calls to you through the rhythm of your life, through the love of people who support you, through the opportunities to share grace that surrounds you. Stop. Listen. God's voice is calling you to love and serve." This story of the calling of the first 4 disciples helps us see, we've noticed what these disciples were, simple folks who were willing to be molded by the Master's hand. And we notice what they were doing when Jesus called them. They weren't in a church service, but they were going about their daily routine, their normal lives. And we've noticed how Jesus calls them, not to a theological system or to a complex religion, but into a relationship with himself. "Follow me," he says. And we've noticed what Jesus offered the 4 fishermen when he called them, a task. Not a life of ease, but a life of service. And finally, he called us all not to be independent agents, but to be a team, to be a body, to serve Jesus in community together in his church. We see that the pandemic, while still raging, is going to come to an end this year, hopefully, if we all get our vaccinations. So the question is, once you get up and at them, once you get back into society and friends and family, what is Jesus calling you to then? I hope in these last weeks of the lockdown, the virus, we can seek God's vision for our lives. We can pray that the Holy Spirit will show us our calling for the life that is coming in the new future. You're mending your nets. You're cleaning your fish. And Jesus walks up to you right there, and he says, "Come, follow me." What will your response be? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. God of all people, we are created for community. Help me to remember I am never alone, because you are always with me. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us. Give us your call. Thank you for all your children who also walk with me in this journey of faith. Give us the vision for what you want to do next. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.